Thank you. Please be seated. Turn with me in the Bible this morning to Ephesians chapter 2 as we read verses 1 through 10. If you'd like to follow along, it's on that burgundy book, the Bible in front of you, page 1076. Paul the Apostle, writing a letter to the church at Ephesus, writes these words: "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the worldly age, according to the ruler of the atmospheric domain, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too also previously lived all among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and by nature were children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is abundant in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. By grace you are saved. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." This is God's word.
Amen.
I heard a story sometime. I think it might be from my dad, a minister who was walking down a beautiful street on a beautiful day. And he noticed there was a little boy that was standing up on a porch. And he was trying to ring the doorbell, but for whatever reason, it was an unusually high doorbell. And he couldn't reach it. And he kept trying and jumping, and he couldn't reach it. And so the minister, trying to be kind, he decided to walk up the sidewalk, stepped on the porch, looked at the little boy, and with that, he rang the doorbell. He rang it again and again. And he stepped back and looked at the little boy and said, "Okay, now what?" He goes, "Now we run." In the portion of Scripture that we read today, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, a very challenged church with what was going on in the world around it. But he wanted to remind them and encourage them of a reality in their lives. He says to them, "You have been saved by grace." He says, "It's not of works. It's nothing that we can do on our own part. It's something that God in his love came and through his spirit touched our heart. And we responded to his call. And if we're following him, we live in his unconditional love and grace and mercy." And they've come to recognize that, okay, well, I'm a new creation. I'm beginning this walk with the Lord. The term is saved and walking with the Savior. But what really should I be doing next? Now what is next for me? Okay, And there's someone who said, like, if this was it, if all that our Christian lives were about was just strictly a matter of saying, "Well, I choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ," and that's how God had intended, then he'd just whisk us off and zap us into heaven, and that's all there'd be. But that's not what Paul is going to tell these people and want us to be kind of encouraged and led by this morning as we look to this portion of Scripture. He's saying, okay, you've come to that place where you want to have a relationship with the Savior, but that's just really a starting point. Now what? Now we endeavor to begin to live the life that he's called us to be. He has that, he's made us new. He goes, "Look, I've made you a new creation, but now it's ours to become that new creation. It's ours to do what, well, we just looked at this morning. We have folks that they're going off to the Dominican Republic in Haiti in a few weeks. Now, they've made a decision to follow Jesus, and Jesus is going to whisk them off. But no, they've come to recognize, and all of us need to recognize every day of our lives, that the now what is now we begin each day to get up and to begin to realize that we live with a new reality. And what Paul wanted them and us to know really today, and I'm going to be very brief because of time. We have things to be considering as well this morning, so hang on for the ride very briefly. What he wants us to understand and recognize, and that's to begin to understand that when you come into relationship with God through Jesus, you become what he calls a masterpiece. How many of you would consider yourselves a masterpiece? Good, because I was going to talk about humility next week. Okay, you may not think it. But you see, the biblical teaching is that you are.
Amen.
When we come to this portion of Scripture, and it says, and if you're just following, I'm just going to look very briefly at one verse today. It says, we are his creation. Those who have translated this from the original language of the Greek New Testament to what we're in today, they've grappled through translation after translation. What do we take that word? Because that word is actually the word in the New Testament, poema. Sounds like what in our English language? Poem. They would have understood that in that day and age when Paul's writing it as we are God's workmanship. We are a masterpiece. We may not have started out that way. We might find, and I've maybe not necessarily been sitting here, but I've talked to many people who have said, man, before I made that decision to be a follower of Jesus, my life was a mess. I mean, I had more frayed ends in my life than you can ever imagine. And Jesus has come into my life, and he seems to have brought those frayed ends one by one together, piece by piece. Or I had some real rough edges, and like that diamond cutter who takes that very simple rock that doesn't look like much and begins to cut and cut and cut until it becomes something very, very valuable. That's how God looks at you. He says at one point, you and I, and this is why Paul kind of uses the flow. Follow the flow he's saying here. At one point, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We're dead. You see, the corpse, not very much of a masterpiece. But God can take that corpse of a dead person spiritually and can bring that person into a new life, into a new creation. I can give you a passage of Scripture this morning where Paul writes another letter to the Church of Corinth where he says that if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is a follower of Christ Jesus, that person is a new creation. It says if you follow him, you are. It's what you are now. God sees you and is building you into a new creation. That the old things that we were have passed away. He says, I want you to look and I want you to notice in your life I'm working and new things are happening in your life if you follow me. I came across this past week as I was studying this, a very interesting story about a man named Robert Simon. You may not know him, ever heard him before, but he was part of a group of investors that they invested in a piece of art back in 2005 that they spent about $10,000 for a public auction. Now, understand, this same piece that they spent $10,000 for in 2005, it sold back in 1958 for $62.50. Now, the reason being, there are people thought that it was a portrait initially that was painted by Leonardo da Vinci. But it was very worn, very overpainted, and so it was considered to be not much of any value. But somehow, Mr. Simon and those who were part of his group decided there had to be something special about it. There was just something that needed to be peeled away and unveiled. And so, as the article goes, they gave it to a woman. Some of you may have heard of her in New York City. Her name is Diane Dwyer Modestini. And she is a noted art restorer. And she began to look, and over time, she began to peel away the layers of the paint that was there. And very carefully, very gently, and trying to restore what was probably at the very base of this canvas. She continued on for years. And finally, it became very clear that this painting was painted by Leonardo da Vinci. It was titled Salvator Mundi, which really means Savior of the World. Well, as she finished and made it very presentable, this piece of art that actually originated in the 1500 AD, only about 25 inches tall by about 19 inches wide, not all that big. Well, this same piece that sold for $10,000 ultimately sold for $75 million. then was resold at the end of 2013 for $127.5 million. Now, this is a portrait that you might have picked up if you've ever gone to the malls. They have the starving artist sales where you can buy it looks like a portrait, some masterpiece, but it's really the starving artist recreation of it. Or something you might find at Kirkland's. Well, I'll have you know that this piece of art that was sold for $62.50 in 1958, this past November 15th of 2017, it sold for $450.3 million. And is now sitting in the Louvre in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. Wouldn't you like to have made an investment in that one? Now, the reason I share that story with you is that I think the Apostle Paul would like that. I think he would like that story, said, because that is a living example of your daily living, what you see in the world, what happens in the world, of what God has done with you and me, were something that maybe people wouldn't have seen all that valuable, priceless, because you were dead. A spiritual corpse, if you will, but God in his love chose to restore you and me and to raise us, to peel away the layers of all that he doesn't want for us to be and to shape us and mold us into all that he really wants us to be, which he deems. Maybe what we need to hear is we may not see ourselves as a masterpiece, but the great thing is that he does.
Amen.
And that's the most important thing. And knowing that, then Paul goes on to say this, that if you are this, then you need to know as a masterpiece, God has made you and you've been made by him to do good works, to do what's good, to do what is godly, what he's called for you to do, what he's laid before you to do. As a new creation, we can do things because he's the one that gives us the wisdom. He's the one that empowers us. He strengthens us. And he directs us. And that's why Paul says that we are his creation, created by Christ Jesus, so that we would do good works, his works. But this is a very different word when he talks about how we're to be serving him, created to do these works. It's a little different than some of the other words he's using. There's two words used for works. One talks about how we need to be working out, and we're not saved by our works and our energy, but we're saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
Now, he uses this as a very, very different word. It's a different word where it's something that is something that comes from something outside of us. It's a work that God is doing through us. Not something that we're accomplishing, but ultimately something that God is doing through us. When you go to the DR, when you go to your places of work, wherever you go, and God lays opportunities before us that we may not even realize, that we don't realize that he is working his work for us. It's not something that we're doing. It's something that he's doing through us. That's why I'm reminded by what Paul when he wrote Romans said, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, that you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And it's for us to gain a new insight into the fact that when we serve him, it's him really working through us. That's why, you know, when we're serving, of course, we're serving Jesus. He's working through us. We're doing his work. And I was thinking, you know, it's not ours just to take. We have abilities that he wants us to use. Some of them are natural and innate. We're born with them. Others we discover when we follow the Lord that all of a sudden, well, I didn't realize I could do this. It's called a spiritual gift. And he uses that to bless lives, to bless you, to bless others. And he wants us to use those things and not just to hold them back. I think the tragedy in the church today is more often than not people are holding on to these wonderful good gifts and talents and works that he's given them to do. We're just holding back when we need to be out there. That's what he wants us to do. His will, his desire for us is to use and serve them. We're kind of like, I've shared this story with you before. It actually came from Leadership Magazine. The gentleman who wrote it, Gary Gobrinson, he wrote this article that was for leaders about a man who was in the Merv Griffin show. How many of you remember Merv Griffin? Okay, you're all giving your age away. I enjoyed him. Mm-hmm. And he was a great interviewer. And one afternoon on his television show, he had a bodybuilder. And of course, the guy gets up and he's flexing and he's doing these things. I'm not about to do that, embarrass myself. I have nothing going to pop up here or there or here. But their muscles are bulging everywhere. Yeah. And so the first thing that Merv Griffin says to him, why did you develop those particular muscles? The man doesn't say a word. He just got up and starts flexing. And everybody knows he was just flexing. And so Irv said, okay, then let me ask another question. What do you do with those muscles? And now he starts to pop that bicep and rip that tricep. He's about to lose his mind. Now people are starting to kind of giggle because he says, no, 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 no. What do you use those muscles for? And the man just stood there and goes, that's all I need. All the strength. But for what? And we said, what? You have something. What are you doing with it other than standing there and flexing yourself with it? Aren't you doing something with it? And that's Paul's encouragement. He says, look, you're a masterpiece, and God's working through you. And he's given you some very special gifts as he's carved you, shaped you, and molded you. But he wants you to use them. And why? Let me jump very quickly to that last point, and that's this. That you have God's work to do that he has prepared just for you. He says elsewhere in this letter that God has created evangelists, pastor teachers, apostles, and he would go on in Corinth to talk about all these different gifts that he's given people. Some for music, some for administration, some for teaching, some for other types of service, dental, vision, medical, whatever it may be, teaching. All these different gifts. But he's prepared them for each one of his personal masterpieces. And it says he's done so beforehand, ahead of time. This is something happenstance. That's why Paul says, look, he created this, which he gave us these good works. God prepared ahead of time. And so what Paul's really saying here is, God has prepared us as his masterpiece, and he's shaping us and molding us. And God has prepared the work that he has for us to do. So you will have divine appointments, is what some people call them. Experiences where you will do this work that God has for you. They're not accidents. They're incidences where God laid that person. God laid that opportunity. God laid that situation before you. And you're the answer. You're the reason for it. You're the one to do that good work in that. Now I thought, how in the world can I ever illustrate that? It hit me this morning when I opened the drawer. I had some other ideas. And then my wife's going, oh, Lord, that's why you pulled that out. This is quick sausage bolognese with spinach and carrot over spaghetti. Now, this is very good. Anybody recognize where this comes from? Hello Fresh. This is one of those good works that someone shared with us in this past year. And it's wonderful. It really is. Because what these folks do is you sign up, and if you talk to Patch, they'll probably get you 1 week free, though we don't work for these people. It's just a deal that they do. You can talk to anybody, you'll probably get 1 week free. It's great, because what they do is you order how many you want. They've prepared the recipes beforehand. They've brought together the ingredients beforehand in just the right amount. If it only takes that much balsamic vinegar, that's what you get. If it takes that much oil, you get that. If you need a lime, you get that. Whatever the seasoning, you're not going to open this up, go to dinner, and say, oh, man, we don't have any cilantro now. We can't do this. It's all there. And it's all been done beforehand. And then beforehand, they go, and I feel like Vanna White, and they show you step one, step two, step three, and how to do this step by step. I saw a guy on TV last night advertising this. He and his wife do it together. And it's all prepared beforehand and comes to your door. And it's a wonderful thing. But you know what? It doesn't mean a thing if it comes to your door and you stick it in the refrigerator and ignore it until you open the refrigerator up and it's grown hair. And that's what we can do with our gifts that God gives us. Opportunities is prepared beforehand. These people have said, it's here. I've laid it out before you. All you got to do is do it. And that's what God is saying. Look, it's all together. All you have to do is do it. I'm there. I've made you the masterpiece. I've given you the gifts. Mm-hmm. I've given the opportunity of good works. I prepared it ahead of time. I know how this is going to work out if you work with me. And oh, by the way, you can do it. Because in Scripture, the one truth you will discover in Scripture is it's never been about a person's ability. You can talk Moses, you can talk Joshua, you can talk Joseph, you can talk Gideon. You can talk about all the apostles, everyone in the scripture save Jesus. They never ever talked about their ability. It was never about their ability. You know what it was about? It was about their availability.
Right.
And that's what I'm going to leave you with today. You, whether you realize it or not, are a masterpiece of God who wants you to do his good work. And it's not happenstance. There are things that he's put in your life that he wants to do in and through you. And the question is not your ability. He's the one that makes you able. The question is, we've already seen this example today, in a couple weeks. Say, Lord, here I am. Send me, I'm available. Use me. Make me usable. Let's pray about that as we close today. Father, thank you for being here. Thank you for this lesson of Paul that I pray that we're going to be encouraged and given hope by. That we are something special to you. Because you've made us exactly the way you want us, with the gifts, the skills, the passions that we have. And they aren't given happenstance. You've thought about it ahead of time. You've laid the ingredients of our lives together. And now you want us to work with you in a very special and wonderful way. To be open to you, to be used by you, so that the abilities you've been given us will be fulfilled in the availability we have in saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. I'm getting out of bed today here, and I'm looking for the opportunity to walk with you, but also to serve you and to do the good works you've laid before us this day as we go forward. I'm walking with you today as we leave this place. Walk with us as we go forward. Lord, accomplish the work you've put before us. We're available. Here we are, Lord. Use us. Make us usable. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.